You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. Isaiah, chapter 43. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we've opened thy love letter. So help us, here we are. Thank you very much, in Christ's name, amen. So as we look into the yesterday, the timeless past, a God is very, very, very happy, pleased, excited, as it were, to send his Son, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. It's God's plan. It's a wonderful thing. God's excited about it. I can use that word, and it isn't even adequate. God is delighted about it. So God has done that. He's done that. He created Adam and Eve, etc. And here we are on planet Earth. And all during the Old Testament time, they were to be all of history from Genesis 1 all the way down the corridor of time. God is very, very happy to be God. And all of the world is to know he's God. He's the only God. And we are reminded afresh and anew, Isaiah 43. Israel was to be his witnesses. Verse 10. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. Purpose, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. You need to know a relationship that allows you to know and enjoy God's wonderful person. You may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. There is no Savior besides me, none whatsoever. Chapter 48. Chapter 44. And you will notice, please, in verse 6, 44, verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, I am the last. Beside me, there is no God beside me. Going down to the end of verse 8. I'll read verse 8, I guess. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? You are my witnesses, Is there a God beside me? Question. Yea, there is no God. I know not any. So we are to understand in a wonderful, wonderful way that God is a God. And the whole world living, God created them from way back to Adam and Eve all the way down through Malachi. He created them. And God is the only God. So therefore, everyone living on earth was to know what? God. How many gods are there? None. There's only one God, one Savior, one wonderful, wonderful Savior. Now, so the time, the clock starts in Genesis 6, travels all the way through time, Old Testament, and the hour of his cup has come as he travels, his all of history. And all of history is here. God, there's only one God, only one Savior. He's delighted to be who he is. He created all human beings from Adam all the way down to know him and honor him and enjoy him. That's what they're doing. Now, to the extent they did that, no, not much, but it was there. So God, what's the excitement? He's going to go to the cross and die. That's what he's going to do. And that's a wonderful thing. That's what makes the whole thing work. It isn't humans make it work. It isn't angels that make it work. It's God doing something marvelous to show his wonderful, glorious person. Matthew chapter 16. And in Matthew chapter 16, picking up, if I may, in verse, you'll catch it easily, verse 20. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus Christ. We shared those reason for that. Verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must, compulsory, it's required, he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. He told them the whole sequence. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to rise again. When are you going to rise again? I'm going to rise again on the third day. So, 3 1/3 years have gone by. And in the process of the disciples and the people of Palestine, etc., have been exposed to the Lamb of God. Like John said, behold, John 1:29, John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Well, they've had 3 1/3 years to see. He identified himself with his works, his wonders, and all the things that he did and said. And they had all of those 3 1/3 years to know. So all of that took place in a most wonderful way. But they didn't believe. Most of them didn't believe. But now it's time, as we shared, Matthew 21 and that, last Sunday and that, his public appearance, his public death. He's going to be very publicly into the city. It's going to be this 2.7 million plus or minus, so said the people back then, of people there in Palestine. So that's a lot of people. And it's there. And the people are there. And God is going to go and be crucified. Now, there's no question. Is it very public? Absolutely. Absolutely. Is it known? Yes, it's been known since forever. God told you, the Lamb of God is going to be crucified. And the event came to pass in a most wonderful way. And God covered that event, as we shared on Wednesday, with darkness. He covered the event. He put a blanket over it and covered it. And we shared the reasons, some reasons for that. So his death is not in question. There's no question about his death at all. So that's real easy to see and understand. So now, having said that, so comes his death on the cross. And the centurions are going to go and are going to give a death certificate. They're well trained in what they do. They crucify lots of people. They pronounce them dead, and a death certificate. They're all done. So there's no question he's going to die without any question. His death is unquestionable. His wonderful plan is not understood. The world isn't enjoying God's plan for them, for us humans. But in the process, it's the event, without any question, very public. Wow. Death. Now, Matthew chapter 27. And in Matthew chapter 27, you would recall that he said he's going to rise again. His disciples aren't too keen on that. But the unbelieving Jews, they are. The Pharisees and Sadducees, those guys, they heard him. He's going to rise again. We're the ones that should know it, as it were believers back then. We're with him. He told us. But we aren't paying attention. But the unsaved understand the dynamics and all that's going to happen. What he's saying, they are very sobering. They're sobered and sobering in all the being sobered by all the things that are happening. So therefore, what are they going to do? Well, they're very much concerned. So therefore, chapter 27 of the Gospel of Matthew, picking up, please, in verse 63. I'll read verse 62. Now, the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that the deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after three days, so they have no, there's no short, it's a full 3 days, there's a, et cetera, there's no question. They understood that. They weren't going to look for him on Saturday, not until Sunday, that they know he could rise. That's what he said. And they believed. Verse 64. Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. And Pilate said unto them, You have a watch. Remember, and here's the temple, and up in the north part there's a tower. That's where all the Roman soldiers were kept, up in that tower up there. That's where they were housed. When they needed them for anything, the soldiers were there. That's the watch. Pilate said unto them, You have a watch. Go your way and make it sure as you can. In other words, I'm going to give you a whole bunch of men, maybe 68 soldiers, maybe. It's hard to know for sure. Use that number for sake of anything. It's enough. You know what I mean? You're standing in front of a rock. You don't need 10,000. A legion, 6,000. Cohort, 600. So we don't need a lot. I mean, so anyway, Pilate said unto them, Have a watch. Go make your way sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. So here they are. They're putting him in a tomb that's been there, chosen. And in the process, Nicodemus and all of that. And there, and they're going to take a great big rock. It's a round stone, and the stone is estimated to weigh 8,000 pounds, at a guess. So we're going to roll the stone, with a lot of help, roll the stone in front of the hole, the entrance of the tomb. Then we're going to go and put a seal on it, stamp it, going to stamp the seal so that, no, you can't break the seal, like a letter, stamp the seal. And here's all these men going to stay there all during this time to watch, to make sure no one comes and takes the body. So having said that and keeping that in mind, lo and behold, the very thing they wanted to not happen happens. But that's true, because anything you say can't happen, and you say it's impossible, it depends. If God wants to do it, it's done. So don't say nothing's impossible. God wants to do something, he'll surely do it. And he loves to do it, because the more we don't believe and the more we think it's stupid, that's when God does it. Now, that's why he's able to save such as us. The world looks and say, how can you be saved? How can God be in the believing heart? That's a stupid thing. No. God does it in his grace. Now, hang on. So therefore, they went, and the rock is removed, of course. And so we come to verse 11 of chapter 28. And in chapter 28, verse 11. Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch came unto the city. In other words, the stones were away, the place is empty, hang on to that. So the watch, they got to go and report that we don't know what happened. We were all there, we stood there, and we have no idea what happened. And next thing you know, when we did know what happened, the stone was gone and the body was missing. That's what we know. Now, verse 11. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came unto the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large sums of money unto the soldiers. Now, money can buy anything, anything, whatever you want. Enough money will buy whatever, from whoever, by whoever. So, verse 12, and when they were assembled with the elders, they gave him large money. Verse 13, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept. Now, think of that. That's a dumb thing to say, but it's that's what they said. So when you're trying to figure something out that you can't figure out, we say and do dumb things. Now, to say that you're going to go, to say for the men to say, they stole him away while we slept. All of you guys were asleep? That's interesting. To be all of you asleep at once. Wow. And they stole them away. They moved the big stone and took them. Okay? That's what to tell them. That's the story. Verse 14. If this come to the governor's ears, that's Pilate. Pilate, what do you do if you fail in your job? You kill him. The guards would be in bad shape. But the Jews are going to go and pacify Pilate, probably give him something. And so, governor's ear, we will persuade him, verse 14, and secure you. You'll be all right, guys. So they took the money and did as they were taught, and the saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. So here we are. So the enemy in human history here, never attempted to answer the resurrection, the preaching of the resurrection. They can't answer the empty tomb. And they couldn't answer the preaching. They couldn't answer the preaching. Hang on to that. They couldn't answer it except by persecution. The only way they could stop the believers was by persecution. You couldn't argue. You can't reason it out. It isn't going to come out. No matter how you cut the cookie, you aren't going to win in this game. And it isn't meant for you to win or for me to win. God wins. That's what has to be. So that's what we got in front of us. Now, having said that little bit, while you're in chapter 28, you will please note, if I can, sliding over in verse chapter 28, as we read that, picking up, please, in verse 5. And the angel answered and said unto the women, 28:5, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. Why? For he is risen. By the way, as he had said, he told you. Now, he told you all this. We read it in chapter 16, verse 21, etc., Matthew. Verse 6, he is not here. He is risen, as he said. Now, by the way, awesome statement. Come, what's he tell the ladies? Come see the place where the Lord lay. Not see the opening. Not look in the opening, empty. I want you to go, the angel pointed, go in there, and here is the wrapping. Remember, they wrapped him in linen cloth, wrapped him up, because that's like a mummy. Not the mummy's tomb, but the mummy. And then wrapped him up like a mummy, and he's all wrapped up with a napkin in his head, laying there. You can't miss it. You can't miss it. There he is. Body's all wrapped up. And I want you to go, what's the angel tell him to do? Go look at the wrappings to that place. Not just in it. I want you to, he points up, that's the place. See the shroud, see the cloth. I want you to see the cloth. Why? Because the cloth is evidence. Evidence. Didn't you put him in there? Didn't they put him in there, Nicodemus and them? Didn't you guys put him in there? We did. We put him in there. And there he is. It's still there. But it isn't there. Now, so in the process of all of that, he's looking. And there is the dead body. There's the covering. But no body. It could have been different. Like Lazarus, they unwound him. They didn't do that to the Lord. The body was perfectly there as they wrapped it, but there was no body in it. Now, in order to get that, you won't maybe get that. Make believe I had a big casket up here with Pinocchio in it. No. Make believe I had a big casket, dead person. Dead person's up here. And I'm the funeral director, and I have an all tie and everything, you know, hand folded, maybe a flower, and I got it all there. And so I'm all there, and I close the casket. And then the family comes in to see. And of course, I open the casket up, and lo and behold, the suit's there, the flower's there, there's no body. The suit, perfectly suit, laying there. The suit's just laying there, but there's no body. Wouldn't you be impressed? Your family. What are you going to do? They're going to do. There's no body. Ah, that was the point to get across. What? See that place. Do you understand the clarity, the simplicity, the surety? He's risen. See the body. Well, there is no body, but it's there. Absolutely. You know his death? No question. But his life is there. Clear, clear, simple, easy. Everything. Luke chapter 24. And in Luke chapter 24, picking up, please, in verse 5. And as they were afraid, 24:5. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Here's an account of the resurrection, the tomb sequence. Verse 6, he is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. And there it is again. And the third day he's going to rise again. So there's no question the third day is going to happen. And verse 8. And they remembered his words. He did say that. He did say that. The third day. Verse 9. And returned unto the sepulchre. So they went back to the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11. So all the rest, the going back, and the disciples come with Peter and that. Verse 10. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, these which told these things unto the apostles. Now, if anyone should understand the apostles. Verse 11. And their words seemed to them as idle tales. They believed them not. They didn't believe. They just didn't believe. It's not possible. Then, verse 11, 12. Then rose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld not an empty tomb, he beheld the linen clothes. That's the whole point. There's no body in the clothes. It looks like a body, but there's no body there. So, verse 12. Then rose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, stooping down. He beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which has come to pass. He's perplexed. And you would be. No body, but the clothes, everything. How on earth could this happen? That's where he is. Now, it has awesome. It's an awesome event. But there's no question about the event. None whatsoever. So therefore, no body, no form, no way. And so therefore, the whole movement is going to take place. And the evidence of death is missing, as we said. And there's nothing there to feed the despair. Nothing there to feed loss. Nothing there to feed darkness. nothing there to feed unbelief? It's just nothing. How do we answer it? How do we talk about it? How do we explain it? We can't. We can't do it. So all of the things that we normally would react and respond, we can't do them. It's empty. Empty. Why? For one's enlightenment. What do you need to see? The mummy, the cloth with no body. Are you going to be educated by this? Are you going to understand? O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Are you going to understand? He's not here. He's risen. It's the third day. After the third day, it's on a Sunday, just like this, on the first day of the week. That's what it is. And he's not here. Wow. So now, having said that, so the darkness and the emptiness, all of it is there. Back over to John chapter 11. John and chapter 11. Remember our Lord educating them for 3 1/3 years so that they could understand. Understand what would happen and why. So, he's not here, he's risen. Come see the place. Well, that's clear. And he made it very clear that was going to be. It had to be. Therefore, John chapter 11, picking up, you remember, Lazarus had passed on, died. In chapter 11, verse 21, Martha said, my brother has died. And verse 22, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Now see, we did resurrection in Sunday school. Rise again, the Old Testament. And Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. I know that. So we mentioned that this morning. Now, I know that. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said, I know that. Verse 23, verse 24. Verse 25, Jesus said unto her then, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And by the way, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? See, remember what we did in Sunday school. You never die. What kind of thing is that? Do you believe that I am the resurrection and life and that you never die? Well, so life, our life, physical life, is very mortal and corruptible, to say this. And the grave is awaiting us, no question. So here's all of life's relationship, and he's the resurrection of life. So when I receive the Lord as my Savior, God gives me a wonderful relationship to God. Now, God, what did you do? You're always there from forever. You were there all the thousands of years that gone by, 6,000 so years gone by, and here we are, God, in your presence, in your wonderful presence, God. Now, why are we in your presence? Because the Lamb was slain on, Lamb of God was slain on Calvary's cross and rose again. So all of the Old Testament saints, all they had to do was believe, and they believed and sacrificed, and God gave them a wonderful, wonderful insurance that Christ was going to die. And if you want to liken it to a check, God gave Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob a check to cash. And they stuck it in their pocket to cash. And when he went to the cross, they cashed it. They cashed it in. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, I'm the resurrection of the life. Wow, that's an awesome, I am that. So back to the thing. Here we are in his presence. Easter doesn't mean much to very many. That's my observation, you know. That's a holiday, we eat, do whatever. Doesn't mean much. And we're going to all celebrate, people celebrate resurrection. And then I'd ask, well, what does that mean? What does resurrection mean? And why is it true? Well, I don't know. See. Well, no. So God, what are we doing? God, here we are in your presence. And we are in your presence to be able to quickly and wonderfully be able to receive, you, to believe. That's why we're here. God, we're in the middle of your presence right now. And we have able to come to God comfortably with your heart, just like that. Because he's died and rose again and made it possible. It isn't some impossible thing. It's something that happens. Why? Because God made it possible. They knew it, but they couldn't enjoy it like you guys do. It's an awesome thing. We live in the presence of God to know him. It's awesome. Now, hang on. Chapter 10 of Matthew. The Gospel of John, I should say. Gospel of John, chapter 10. And you will know our Lord, he's the resurrection and the life. And he said he's the good shepherd of the sheep, etc. He's the way, he's the door. Verse 10, verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Wonderful, wonderful experience with God. Verse 10, the thief cometh not but to steal, but to kill, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come, said he, that they might have life. And then God added, he did, and that they might have it more abundantly. Not just any old life. Not just any old life. An extraordinary life. His life. Wow. John chapter 17, for those of you who haven't been on our study of John 17, slide over to 17, you're here. And in John chapter 17, picking up, if I may, in John 17, sliding over to verse 3, and this is eternal life, to say it directly for time's sake. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So what is eternal life? It's, you have physical life, that's your relationship to planet Earth. Breathing, eating, coming and going. Spiritual life, the life that we don't have, is to God. It's God. God's wonderful person. That's what we're to know. God's wonderful person. It isn't something you put in your pocket and take a pill. You say, take a pill, and it'll give you a lot of energy, and the pills that do that. Take the pills and do them. It isn't about a pill. It's about a person. We're in his presence to know him. That's for real. That's what Easter is. It's for real. He made it real. Well, I don't see him. No, you don't. By faith, you walk by faith, not by sight. God said, there's a huge difference. God is spiritual, invisible, and we're earthly, invisible. So we got a bridge. We have AM like we use radio, AM, and we need to get FM. We need to know the Lord as our Savior. Otherwise, we can tune our FM. We can turn the dial up back and forth on AM, and we never get it. Never get it. Got to have FM. Now, having said that, little bit, God's wonderful pledge, plan, promise to be, to make possible the impossible. Therefore, Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And you will note, as was mentioned, picking up, please, in verse 14, remember, this is the resurrection chapter, if you wanted a chapter in the Bible. Chapter 15, verse 14. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. In other words, if he didn't die, and he didn't rise again, it's all stupid. The whole business is. But the trouble is, he rose again. If you could just kill him and get rid of it. But it doesn't work that way. Verse 15. Yea, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ from the, and he whom he raised up, not up, if so be that dead rise not, and but they do. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised, but he is. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. Then also they which are to fall asleep in Christ are perished. For if in this life only we have hope in Christ, then we are of all men most miserable. What a stupid lot it is. If I don't have that, all I got is evolution and everything else out there. Materialism is, I got all the different religions. I got nothing when I'm all done. I believe this, I believe that. But do you really believe that you're going to go, if you were, you don't want to drift off. You don't want to lose this reality, not dreams. I'm going to have Mormons have a planet somewhere if you just qualify, you know. That's weird. Weird. But they'll believe that. They'll believe that. They won't believe reality. God, here we are. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, keeping that before you, and we read in chapter 15, etc., in Sunday school and that, behold, verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall all, not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom, verse 50. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, fast as you could blink, more than that. At last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead and shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Wonderfully, wonderfully changed. Wow. Wow. Now, so therefore, always God, always God, always in his presence. God honoring his word. God honoring his word. We're reading it, but God's here to honor it. We're reading, God, you're going to honor what you did? I did it. I did it. It was the whole point. The lamb slain before the foundation of the world. I went and died on the cross and rose again to make possible the impossible, to make something happen. So the philosopher, the people, try to explain God. Try to explain God. Try to explain God's awesomeness. And what book should we write? Well, they had Quo Vadis and other books that were written to try to refute, remember? And they ended up being saved, the people that did these things. They did the study, try to find the, and they ended up being saved. That's what you, because you can't answer it. There is no way to answer the resurrection. That's the only sign. Over, if you would, Matthew chapter, for some of us, Matthew chapter 12. Remember, he's only going to give one sign. So, how many evidences are you going to give? Only one. Why? Because they don't believe. They don't believe. They crucified him. They rejected him, the Jews. The Gentiles said, we don't even know him. They didn't. So the wonderful event from forever, the lamb slain, is not even honored. So the only thing he's going to do is one thing, because they want a sign. Chapter 12, as you know, verse 38, then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The only thing I'm going to show is my resurrection. That's all I'm going to do. Show them an empty tomb. And that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at an empty tomb in history and looking at. The world doesn't even understand. And the ones think, ask the next 10 persons you see, what do they know about the empty tomb? Just you say that expression. What do you think they're going to say? What empty tomb? What empty tomb? See, they don't know. Now, that's the only sign he's going to give them. So, the philosopher, you can't explain it away. The historian, what are you going to do? Go find a body. But you can't find a body. Can't find a body. Can't find a body. So we can't go, can't erase him, can't change him, can't make it go away. And us humans trying to do it, 1 Corinthians 6, 7, it is, we bring nothing into the world when we're born, and we take nothing out when we're, for certain, when we die. We bring nothing in and take nothing out. So what are we doing? Well, we can't answer anything. We bring nothing in and take nothing out. We come in naked and we go out in the casket. Wow. So God, here we are looking at the only sign you're going to do. Now, so having said that, over if I can please, over to the book of Acts. Book of Acts. In the book of Acts in chapter 4. No, I'm going to, before I do 4, go to chapter 2. Book of Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, how was the church introduced? You want to know about what the believers were thinking on that day? What were they, what was inspiring them, moving them, motivating them? Chapter 2, book of Acts, verse 31. But seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, Hades, neither his flesh did see corruption. But, verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Now God, how are you going? He's already risen. 40 days and nights he's gone, seated at the right hand of God. What are you guys going to say? He's risen. That's what we know. You know it. So the only evidence that we know there's an empty tomb is going to be by the head. He's in heaven. His body, the believers. Here we are in church, body. Here we are. The only evidence is what? He's risen. Why are you sitting here? Because he's risen. It isn't because he died. It's because he's risen. That's why you sit here. If he died, we have nothing. We are all men most miserable. So it isn't that. Hang on, it'll come out. Pick up, please. Again, a little later, church, chapter 4. Chapter 4, please. And you will note. And here they are, Peter and them. Picking up, please, directly, verse 33. 4:33, here's the church gathered together. And the great, with great power, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. So what on earth were they doing? What did you expect that church to see, to do? Do you understand what? God, he's risen. The motivation to live, to breathe, to keep going, to have hope, expectancy, a surety. We're going to get it. We're going to get it, what? Because he's risen. That's what's so awesomely wonderful. He's risen. Now, having said that, God has risen, his great grace was upon us. Wow, that's an awesome thing. And over, back over to chapter 2, picking up, please, if I can. Verse 23, and him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden by it. Death cannot hold him, not at all. He's the living and only God. Now, having said that, over to Romans chapter 15. The resurrection, that's why we're here. That's what it's all about, because we have a living Savior. We don't have a dead Savior. We aren't coming to go through the religious motion. That's a waste of time. I hate to tell you that. You can do it because it keeps you busy. A waste of time. I wouldn't waste my time. Nothing. It's either going to be real and hit the target, otherwise I'll go and whatever. Now, Romans chapter 10, picking up, please, if I can, in verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, this is how you get saved, I receive the Lord as my Savior. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that he was crucified. Well, it doesn't say that. What's the issue? Not his crucifixion. That had to be. That makes it possible. What makes what possible? Life. Are you interested, God, in the death or life? Verse 9. If thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You believe in the resurrected Christ, a living Christ. We're in his presence. Otherwise, you're just following rote and come down, read the Bible and say that, and God bless you, and out you go. We aren't talking about that. We're talking about a reality, an awesome reality. We're in the presence of the one who's made it possible. Therefore, verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Wow! That's what we got to do. So God, we're looking to you. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ who rose again, crucified, took my sin, buried it in the cross, and gave me his wonderful life to believe in, to have a relationship to God. Over a few Colossians. In closing, Colossians. And picking up, please. And you will note I'm going to go to Colossians 1 and just introduce what we're going to do. Verse 27. This is God. When you receive the Lord as your Savior, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery, this awesome, awesome thing that no one ever heard of. Impossible, but not anymore. Christ was risen and made it possible. Among Gentiles, what is that Christ, which is Christ, I-N, Christ in you, when you receive him into your heart, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. That's, how can that be? Because what I do? Do you believe he rose, Romans 10, 9 and 10? I believe he rose again from the grave to make possible this relationship. If I talk about the cross, it won't, that's wonderful, but that makes possible the other. Now, so therefore, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. If ye then, verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead. So it isn't so, we aren't earthly, and we enjoy a wonderful relationship to God, who's heavenly. For we are dead, for you are dead, and your life is hid, where? In with Christ in God, Christ in you, the hope of glory, 127. Verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall you appear with him in glory. A wonderful, 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 wonderful experience. Extraordinary. The extraordinary life, God, a relationship to God, to be live an extraordinary relationship, to live an ordinary life. We drink and eat and get pain and headaches and everything, whatever you do. Ordinary, but extraordinary. And in the extraordinary is the ordinary. God takes the extraordinary as we trust him. God, that's what it's about. Easter. Easter, what's Easter? God made it possible for you to have a unique relationship to him. And how is he going to say it? Well, no one believes that. Oh, don't get caught in that. He told you no one believes, but he's showing it. He said, an empty tomb. And here are what? A bunch of believers seated together on the Lord's Day, bearing witness on the Lord's Day, first day of the week, when he rose again. Now, what are you doing? Showing his wonderful life. That's what I'm doing. That's what you're doing. Showing his wonderful, awesome life. That's what it's about. And then about a whole lot of stuff that goes nowhere. No, it's all real, wonderfully real. And therefore, we seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the God, verse 1. Do you know, years ago we shared it with you, that one of those regular airplane, not a big jet, a regular plane, and they were flying the plane, the fellow was flying the plane across to his journey, and in the process he noticed there was a rat, and he could catch it, but he couldn't leave the seat. The rat was there gnawing on the rudder cable, he said, what am I going to do? The rat doesn't seem like it wants to quit, so what am I going to do? And he knew what to do. He went higher, where the air oxygen was less, and the rat quit. What are we going to do? We're down here, the conditions, the character, the conflicts, everything that's cuckoo down here. We can't fix it. No. Go higher. Look up. Don't look down. See it. You need to be a realist. What terrible things are happening and going to happen. We haven't even started yet. Well, look up. Go higher. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Ephesians 1:3. God what? You have wonderfully heavenly resources. Use them. You have an awesome hope. Where? Christ in you is the hope. You have awesome assurity. Where? God in Christ in you. A sureness. We don't deserve it. It's nothing to do with your mental IQ or whether you're smart or dumb. It's something God does and has done for every human being, every dear person that would believe and receive him as the Savior. Wow. Thank you. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and hearts, and it's just us. So you got to help us, and we'll thank you very, 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 very much. God, we don't even know how to tackle this subject. It's an awesome, wonderful subject, so ordinary, so wonderful, and yet so foreign, God, so foreign to us. God, help us. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's why we're here, to say thank you the first day of the week, to honor you and your presence. God, thanks. For those who know you not as Lord and Savior, God, convict, convince them that they might receive you into their heart. And our God, we're going to thank you. And thank you again. In Christ's name, Spirit of God, amen.